Hi, my name is John Kim. I'm a therapist who went through his own rebirth many years ago, and I've been documenting my journey ever since, sharing my life lessons and revelations. I believe in casual over clinical, with you instead of at you. I come unrehearsed on purpose because self-help doesn't have to be so complicated. Before today's episode, I have a small ask. John, you don't front load and ask. It's such a turnoff. Okay, first I just want to say then, I really thank you for listening to my podcast. It has given me a sense of purpose, which has been the greatest gift this world has given me since my rebirth. So thank you for that, sincerely. Here's my ask. So Apple did an update and it has affected the subscribership significantly. So my ask is, if you have time, please resubscribe to the Anger Therapist podcast because you might have been unsubscribed. And also, if you have a minute, if you can rate and review, that would mean the world. Thank you so much for listening and enjoy today's episode. Vanessa and I are sitting outside on our porch. We look like an old couple drinking wine coolers.
Is that what old people drink, wine coolers?
I grew up in the 80s, and there was a commercial by, I think, Bartles and James?
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, wine coolers used to be cool, and there were these two old people on the porches, and I remember that as a kid. But anyway, it's gorgeous out. It's like 90 degrees here in Los Angeles, not a cloud in the sky. So we talked about codependency. Vanessa talked about what codependency really is. We talked about signs. We talked about what it looks like when there's codependency in your relationship. So if you haven't listened to the last two episodes, then go check that out. Before I begin, real quick, I also want to say, if you are working on yourself, I want to invite you to jump into my 31 days of single on purpose. I'm doing this with like 5,000 people. It's completely free. And you just got to get the workbook on Amazon. 31 days of single on purpose. It's something that it's the first workbook I've ever done. And it's should be out by the time you listen to this. All right. So what do you do? By the way, you could just click my bio link on my Instagram if you want to jump into that program. What do you do now that you're aware of codependency and how it's impacting your relationships? What are some steps to codependency recovery?
So this isn't like an easy black and white answer, I guess. And I think I've mentioned this potentially in one of the other episodes. But, you know, I talk about codependency recovery as awareness being number one, right? So once you see something, you can't unsee it. Becoming really aware of what things like resentment feel like in your body. Becoming aware of what the feeling of self-abandoning behaviors feel like in your body. And so once you've established the awareness of that, it's hard not to continue to be aware, right? Now is, I guess, the point of action. So you got to figure out what your thing is, because codependency is so broad that when I teach my 101 course, I go through what I call like my laundry list of codependent behaviors, right? There's a ton of different behaviors that would ladder up underneath kind of struggling with codependency. And it's important for you to kind of figure out which ones you struggle with the most. Let's say like your top 3 to 5. The list that I've got is, I don't even know, it keeps growing, maybe 20, 25 or something at this point. And so when I lead that group, I say, you know, don't try to tackle all these at once. Look at the relationship that you feel in your life right now is the least healthy and potentially the most important relationship that is the least healthy in your life. And figure out what your codependent behaviors are in that relationship and start there, right? Like you don't just want to tackle everything all at once, because it's almost like too watered down, right? So let's say people pleasing is your thing. Like let's say that you've decided it's your romantic relationship and you've realized that people pleasing and not setting boundaries are your two biggest struggles. Great. So you know that. You're going to turn the awareness dial up on those two specific things, and you're going to focus there, right? So I always call this like being the anthropologist of your life. You're going to observe. You're going to pay attention to patterns. You're going to notice what happens in your body. You're going to notice, you know, different triggers. And you're going to do that for, let's say, a week or two, and you're just gathering information. And this is going to really help you get super I kind of want to keep using the word aware, but super aware of exactly what those pinpointed moments are for you, so that once you're there and you've got this, like, oh, I know this feeling, I know this, what preempts, you know, this action, you can then start to say, okay, in this moment, I have a choice, right? I always say we come to a crossroads, and at that crossroads, you can take, let's say, a right, and a right would be short-term gain, but long-term pain, which is I'm going to do the thing I've always done. I'm not going to set a boundary because in this moment that feels easier. But long-term, it's not helping me get to where I want to be in my relationships, right? Or I can take a left and I can choose long-term gain, but short-term pain. And I can do the thing that feels so uncomfortable that I pretty much want to rip my skin off.
I think you said left twice.
No, I said right and then left. Okay, okay. But
Vanessa's very, very bad with directions.
That's true. I am. But if you do that thing, even if it is so hard you want to jump off a building, you know that long term there's gain, right? Long term, you're laying a foundation for establishing a more solid sense of self and pulling yourself out of codependent behaviors and patterns.
So let me ask you, what did you do? And, you know, I don't want to say what did you do, because I feel like recovery is, I mean, like addiction, it's a life sentence, which it sounds really bad, but it's a life practice, right? Life sentence sounds very...
Yeah, life sentence is horrible. Yeah,
it sounds like a prison. But what did you do, and then what are you actively doing today, besides the obvious, like seeing a therapist, to continue your codependency recovery?
So I personally did exactly what I laid out. Right. So I don't say that from kind of sitting up on some kind of hill preaching and pointing my finger. I'm saying, like, this is what works not only for myself, but also in the way that I've worked with clients. Right. And I do think it's imperative. You know, you mentioned therapy, but if you are somebody who, you know, hasn't been able to find a therapist or can't afford a personal therapist, group work, especially with codependency recovery, is amazing and can have profound impact. Actually, I would say sometimes even bigger impact than individual therapy. Now, it's always great to do it together, but if you can't, it's better to do something than nothing. And so having a group that you can go to, so whether that's finding, you know, an ACA group in your local area, an Al-Anon group in your local area, or whether that's joining, like, let's say I run weekly and bi-weekly or bi-monthly codependency recovery groups in my online community, where other people come to the table. We're all talking about specific behavior patterns and kind of wins and losses and things like that together, holding each other accountable. You know, community is such an important piece to our recovery and building a sense of self.
At the end of the day, any kind of self-betterment, I think, is awareness, insight, and then the execution piece, right? What are you doing differently? And even if what you're doing differently isn't necessarily behavior, but maybe it's the lenses that you choose to see through, reframing, right? All of that stuff. And so, like Vanessa says, there is no color by numbers when it comes to recovery. And I think everyone does it at their own pace. They do it in different ways. I think what's important is that you do something, right? So hopefully these three episodes have been helpful. Hopefully they've stirred something in you. Now ask yourself, what is the next step for you? Is it to be more aware? Is it to ask yourself how codependency is affecting your life? Is it codependency or is it not? And then asking yourself, what are you going to do about it? Most people take in a lot of information. Most people absorb. Many are then introspective, they're aware, they even connect dots, and then they want to change, but that's kind of after that, it kind of dissolves, and then very few people actually do anything about it, right? So even if it's a conversation with their partner, or getting into therapy, or a codependency group, all of these action things that are required, so you're actively recovering, most people don't take that step. So I encourage you to do something.
Yeah, and you know, I think even like we were saying, groups, I mean, even if you, let's say, have one or two people in your life that are also interested in this stuff, you know, maybe they also follow people on Instagram that you do, and you guys share DMs and memes, you know, and different posts and stuff like that. That in and of itself is the start of a small community. So if you have a group of people even online, even if they're not your in real life friends, but they're like your social media friends that are in that world, you can use that as a jumping off point for accountability, right? But I would really suggest doing, you know, additional reading. I think that's really important. I think I mentioned this before. It's hard to know at this point. It all blends in. But Codependent No More by Melanie Beattie is a really good resource. I always give that book. It's massively profound, kind of like, you know, if you have never read it before, it will blow your mind. And I give it with a caveat because Melanie Beattie does come from the addiction world and the book was originally written in the 80s. So you got to kind of take it with a grain of salt. So it's, you know, addiction stuff is kind of sprinkled throughout the entire thing, but it doesn't mean that it's not incredibly helpful as long as you're going into it kind of knowing that. And then Codependent No More and Breaking Free by Pia Melody is another really helpful resource. So if you're at the stage where you're like, I just kind of want to like learn as much as possible, then those might be two other options for you as well.
And finally, I want to say that don't put labels on yourself. You know, I think it's easy to, especially these days, to judge oneself. And if you feel that you are codependent, don't stamp that sticker on your forehead. It doesn't mean that you're salvaged. We all have a story, we all have a past, which wires us a certain way. And so I'm not a big fan of labels, and codependency is one of those things that many people are throwing around, and they're saying it a lot. And I don't want you to, because it's present in your life or relationships, that you define yourself by it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I agree, and I think I actually use the word codependency as less of a label and more of a, like when you hear people talk about, you know, we live in like a patriarchal society. I don't look at that as a label. I look at it as like, it's just a factual component of the society we live in. And I actually look at our society underneath the umbrella of codependency in the same way. Like, I don't look at it as a label, as if it were like some kind of, you know, label in the DSM that now requires treatment or something like that that carries stigma. I almost look at it more as like, it's like saying that we live in a patriarchal capitalist society. We also live in a codependent society. And so we all, to a certain extent in the West, are codependent. So I think there also can be a little bit of liberation in looking at it like that, because then it does actually take the stigma. It's not like something just you are dealing with. It's actually something that we're all dealing with. You know, we're the rule breakers. Like, this generation is the generation of changing habits and patterns and breaking, you know, toxic family patterns and all of these things. I mean, it really has come to our generation to be the ones to do that. We're kind of leading the charge. And so I think that there can be some empowerment in just saying like, nah, we're all in this together, but the buck stops here. Like, I'm going to be the one to change these behaviors so that it doesn't pass on to the next generation.
The buck stops here is just as bad as me saying that this reminds me of a wine cooler commercial. The buck stops here is very time stamped, don't you think? Anyway, if you want to check out our book, it's called It's Not Me, It's You, and it's wide. You can grab it on Amazon or wherever you buy books. Thank you for listening. Be well.